Welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, joined in studio this weekend by Dr. Santanu Bandopadhyay, who is the president of Columbia College. He was selected to lead the institution just about a year ago this month. He's joined in studio with us this weekend talking about a number of things about Columbia College. Dr. Bandopadhyay, next thing I want to ask you about is commencement recently occurred, didn't it?
Yes, it did. In fact, it was last week, so third and fourth.
Always an exciting time for students, I imagine.
It sure is. It's the biggest day in the life of our academic cycle, because we see the students coming in. They're young. They're sometimes tentative. They do not know what to do, where to go. And we see them graduate through a process, and they mature. They participate in the educational institution. And finally, to see them walk that graduation walk, that is such a sheer joy.
So after commencement, is it pretty quiet now at Columbia College's campus, or is there quite a bit going on during the summer?
Well, you know, this is a time for us to plan, and it's always, we are looking at opportunities of how we can do things better. Now, this commencement, I would like to take a moment to talk about this. This was our 50th commencement in the history of college. Very significant because of two reasons. One, in terms of sheer numbers, this was the largest student body that graduated. So never in the history of college we have had so many students walk in commencement ceremony. Secondly, this was a unique leadership opportunity for our students. Our students brought a proposal that traditionally in a commencement, only the faculty members walk with the students. Other staff are not included in that process. They are not. They do not participate in the walk. The students said that, you know what, how about we become more inclusive about this? We talk about inclusivity. So let's demonstrate that. We discussed this in college, and this was the first graduation in our history where every staff, faculty member, administrator, classified staff, would walk with the students. The uniqueness of this is we are probably one amongst the pioneers in higher education institution where we've broken down an age-old tradition, so to say, and be more inclusive. What we urge our students to be, we are demonstrating that in our college, and this came from student leadership. So that was very unique for our institution and shows what our students are prepared for when they go into the real world.
You mentioned this is the largest student body at commencement. What have you noticed when it comes to enrollment trends over recent years?
You know, this was an interesting part because typically higher education institution is kind of a counter-cyclical to the economy. When economy does well, people get jobs. They do not tend to come to the college in those large numbers. We also had some amount of declining graduating classes from our local high schools. So traditionally, we would assume that the enrollment should fall. But in last fall, our enrollment was bigger than quite a few previous fall semesters. In fact, it was the largest enrollment in the last, if I remember it right, 5 years. In spring, our enrollment held steady. In summer, as I'm seeing it now, we are again holding on to that similar enrollment patterns. And that has been possible because of careful planning and meticulous execution by our campus community. We kind of saw that the high school enrollments are declining. And we looked at that, how do we engage our students better so we can maintain our enrollment capabilities? Three specific areas that we tried to address this issue as, I would like to mention. One was growth in the online classes. Our online segment offerings grew from, I think, about 16% to 22% in the last few years. So that was a very planned methodology of offering instruction that students who cannot come to us, we can reach out education to them. That was one part. Second part was we were big on, as I mentioned before, dual enrollment. That is teaching the students when they are at high school. It serves multiple purposes. One, the students are getting familiar with what a college education is. Two, the students know what path they are going to follow when they come to college. We help them prepare an academic plan. So when they're coming to college, they're not experimenting and wasting their time. They know what courses do they want to take in order to be successful. Getting larger proportion of students from high school to the college campus, that definitely helps. Third part is, as you know, that California has been trying to increase incarcerated students and formerly incarcerated students training programs. Now, that's an area that we see that if we can train incarcerated or formerly incarcerated students, the recidivism rate goes down, which has multiple benefits. And we have been working with Sierra Conservation Center to offer our courses out there. Again, it's a matter of taking education to where the students are rather than being in a location and hoping that the students somehow would be able to come back to us. So those kind of strategic initiatives have helped us gain the enrollment, although overall in the state, we are seeing either it's holding steady or it's declining trends.
You know, roughly how many students do you have at Columbia?
You know, it always keeps on varying. So it's very difficult to put a particular number, but we have more than 3,000 students enrolled at any main term. By main term, I mean fall or spring semester.
You mentioned the increase in the online classes that are available at Columbia College. Is it just like certain programs that are available for online, or is it more widespread?
It is widespread, but we are trying to be more intentional. You know, there is a lot of talk right now that students often come to college and they take a number of classes here and there. Not necessarily all those classes count towards their degree. So what happens and the end result is a student may accumulate 80 credit units or 90 credit units, whereas an associate degree should be typically completed in 60 credit units. We have a statewide initiative called the Guided Pathways. It's kind of like if you're driving on a 100-lane freeway, it's very difficult to know how do you get to your exit. If we can constrict that and provide you a better guidance of how you can navigate yourself, you would be reaching your destination in a quicker time. We are trying to develop those kind of approaches for our programs also. So we're trying to have, if, let's say, you want to do a specialization in psychology, what courses should you take? Which semesters these courses are being offered? So we tailor that guided pathway and offer that to the student so students can complete their journey sooner. On our online offering, what we're trying to do is not just offer some courses, but we're trying to show a path to the student that if you take this XYZ classes this semester, followed by these classes in next semester, over a period of time, you would be completing your degree. So the focus is becoming, rather than looking at individual courses, it is more how do we offer a collection of courses which leads to a degree or certificate.
Also want to ask you about the Columbia College Foundation. I've been impressed how active the foundation is at Columbia College. Can you talk a little bit about their role and the things that they do?
Oh, absolutely. Columbia College Foundation has been so active in the local community and engaging with the student bodies as well. One of the signature programs that we started with the Columbia College Foundation was the Promise Program, which the students from local high schools who are coming to our college for the first semester, they would not pay, I mean, their college fees were taken care of. Second semester, they have an opportunity of applying for that same scholarship and their fees would be waived off. Now, that is a huge draw because what it does is remove the barriers of entry for a several number of students. Students who cannot pay the fees and that's why they may not enroll in college, this is a golden opportunity for them that it becomes free college for first 1 year. And we are looking at how we can enhance that in a variety of other ways. The foundation is so actively involved in this. They look at the student, they look at how they're performing, which other barriers can they bring, can they remove, and keep on continuously talking with the college administration, to the students, to the community, to see how they can improve this program better.
Need to take one more break. We're talking to Dr. Santanu Bandhopadhyay, who is the president of Columbia College, on this weekend's Motherlode Views, getting an update on all things Columbia College. And we need to take one more break. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our final segment is coming up in just a minute.